like to ask each of you to turn off your device, please. It was a Monday morning, June 6th, 1967. The war started on June 5th, on Sunday. I didn't hear about it. We knew that there was a buildup. At the time that the buildup was taking place, there was a lot of information coming to us from the TV news channels. Prior to that date, Egypt blockaded the Gulf of Aqaba. Blockading a sovereign nation's port, access to waters, is listed in the United Nations as an act of belligerency of war. It's an act of war. We didn't have mobile devices. We didn't have a computer. But the newsreels showed, you have to picture this if you can in your head, Gamal Abdel Nasser, Yimach Shmo, the president at that time, the prime minister, whatever, of Egypt, holding an Arab curved sword, being lifted up on the shoulders of hundreds of wild-eyed Egyptian soldiers. He was carried through the streets, twirling his saber, yelling in Arabic, Yehud Akbar, not an Akbar, whatever the Arab word is for killing, I forgot it now. Kill the Jews. He publicly made statements. I want to tell you one of the statements I remember. He made a statement. We are going to kill every man, woman, and child in Israel. The Mediterranean is going to turn red from their blood. I saw this on television. I heard this. Don't forget, this was only 25 years after the Holocaust. It was 19 years since the state of Israel was declared. And here, an act of war is being perpetrated against a sovereign nation that did not own the West Bank, as they call it, that were not oppressing so-called Palestinians who were under the rule of Jordan. And he and the Syrians and Jordanians were threatening all-out war and destruction of every Jew in the state of Israel. And on that morning of Monday morning, I came out of my house to go into my car to get to yeshiva. I was teaching at that time in the yeshiva. I was teaching fourth grade. And I got in the car and my seatmate, someone who rode with me every day to yeshiva, said, it's all out war. We arrived at the yeshiva, and immediately everyone was called together to say Tehillim, because there were reports coming out of the Egyptian news that we're almost by Tel Aviv, and there's a mass slaughter. And I want you to know that for 3 days, the first 3 days of the war, June 5th, 6th, and 7th, there was an Israeli news blackout, and they knew what they were doing. We didn't hear anything from the Israeli side. All the reports were coming from the Egyptians. And the reports, thousands killed, the Israeli army suffers terrible defeat after defeat after defeat. We're slaughtering the Jews. We're going to push them into the sea. And that's all we heard. That's all we heard. And then, on the third day of the war, the news began to filter out of Israel. The New York Times began to get reports from Israel, and they started publishing photos. And the photographs showed the entire Egyptian Air Force on the ground, every single plane dead on the ground, a direct hit from the Israeli Air Force. They never got off the ground. It never got off the ground. All of Syria's Air Force decimated in the first day of the war. By the third day of the war, Israeli paratroopers were already in Jerusalem, already in Yerushalayim. And the reason there was an Israeli blackout was because the Israeli government knew and understood that the second the world hears about what's really going on and the Israelis and the Jewish people are victorious, they're going to stop the war. And that's exactly what happened. Abba Iban was on television months before pleading with the United Nations, stop this belligerency, don't let them go to war, begging, pleading, making overtures of peace, and the UN did nothing. But when the reports came out that the Israelis had smashed completely the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Jordanians, the United Nations sued for peace and said, stop the war. Thank God. It was stopped after Yerushalayim was reunited. It was a few days before Shavuos. Like today. It was a few days before Shavuos. Now the Kotel that we are familiar with did not exist in the way we are familiar with. The plaza that we see now was not there. The Kotel had a wall right next to it. And the entire area was used as a dumping ground for garbage from the Arab houses nearby. And only a few people were able to fit into this narrow place. But by the time Shavuos came, a large area had been cleaned out. And the day after Shavuos, we saw pictures, or a few days after Shavuos, at that time the Jewish press published the pictures of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews walking in a line to get to the Kotel. How many times is Yerushalayim mentioned in Tanakh? It's mentioned in Tanakh almost 700 times. To be exact, 669 times. Yerushalayim is mentioned in Tanakh almost 700 times. Now, the Muslims are claiming that they have a right to Jerusalem as a holy city, and they want to divide it. So a question arises. How many times is Jerusalem mentioned in the Quran? I'm going to tell you how many times. It's the same number of times that's mentioned in the Hindu Bhagavad. The same number of times it's mentioned in the Taoist Teaching. And the same number of times It's mentioned in the Buddhist Dhanapada. Zero times. No times at all. Not once is it mentioned. And yet, they're claiming that they have a right to that city. Another important point before we get to one of the crux of the matter issues dealing with Yerushalayim. The day after the Six-Day War ended. Now, those of you who are following the news, I don't know how many of you do, but you should. I'll just tell you right now that it pays for you guys on your websites, among your websites, plug it in to Arutz Sheva. It's a little right wing, it's true, but it's a pretty honest view of the general news. At least you'll get one view that's not from the New York Times. So you go to arutzsheva.com. This past week, the Pope came to Jerusalem. Anybody who followed what he did there sees the underpinnings of what the real intent was. But let me go back to 67. The day after the Six-Day War, the Vatican issued a plea from the Pope. Now that Israel was ruled by the State of Israel, which the Catholic Church did not recognize as a state, the Pope issued a statement that the city of Jerusalem should be internationalized. It should not be run and owned by any one nation, only by an international body. So that all religions could have access to their holy sites. Hello? Where were you for 19 years when the armistice agreement of 1948 included that the Jews would have access to their holy sites? Was there a Jew from 1948 to 1967 that was able to openly go to the Kotel? Absolutely not. Not one Jew. Maybe there were some that dressed as Arabs and ended up there. I don't know. But none who came as Jews. Not one. And all of a sudden, there's a call to internationalize this city of Yerushalayim. If you're 17 years old, or 16 years old, we'll take 16 as an average, all right? If you're 16 years old and you've been davening for 6 years, all of Shemona Esrei, let's say, since you're 10 years old, you've been davening Shemona Esrei. Average, 900 times a year, you've said, V'il Yerushalayim ircha b'rachamim toshuv. You've also said another 900 times, V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'racham. That our eyes should see when you, God, return to Jerusalem in your mercy. A total of 1,800 times a year for the past 6 years. 7,200 times in 6 years. You've been saying, and if you answer Amen to each of those brachas, you have another 7,200 times that you've been talking about Jerusalem. Do you know that when a Muslim goes on the Har Habayis to pray in the mosque on Har Habayis, they turn their backs on Jerusalem and face Mecca, have nothing to do with the holiness of Jerusalem? The holiness of Jerusalem for the Jewish people is paramount. It is our soul. We've longed for it, prayed for it, hoped for it. And the Kotel is not the holiest place on earth for the Jewish people. It's not. The Har Habayis is. We can't go there. Okay, some say you can go there. But you can't pray there. You know why you can't pray there? Even if halachically you'll find a way to say you could go, and there are those who do that say you could do that. Even if you could do that, do you know you can't pray there? If you go up on the Temple Mount, after going to the mikveh, after preparing yourself to go there, and you go with a frum guide who knows exactly where you can go according to their opinion, do you know that if you're caught praying, You're going to get arrested by the Israeli police because you are not allowed to pray there, because that's the holiest site of the Jewish people. Why don't the Arabs allow the Jews to pray there? What are they worried about? You know what they're worried about? They're worried that the prayers will come true. That's what they're worried. Because they know that they are interlopers. And they know that they don't belong there. Question arises. Is the unification of Jerusalem, the coming together in Yerushalayim, is that a miracle? Was that a nace? Because if it is a nace, then we should definitely say Hallel and Hogel Hashem Kito Kili Olam Chasto. So there are many opinions. Many opinions that it was, many opinions that it wasn't. But I want to read you something from the Slonim Rebbe, the Nesiva Shalom. I want to read you a quote of his to give you an idea of how crucial and vital Yerushalayim is. And there are two little quotes I'm going to read you, and I'll translate them. He starts with a pasuk from Shmuel Aleph. And those of you fellows who remember this, you'll remember the meaning of the words. Olatz libi b'Hashem. My heart is rejoicing in God. Romo karni b'Hashem. My horn has been lifted up by Hashem. This is a prayer, of course, of Hannah after she had Shmuel. Rochav pi al oyevai. My mouth can now be opened wide against my enemies. Because I am rejoicing over your salvation. And then he goes on to say, Onu mechuyavin lahakir benisim she'osalonu HaKadosh Baruch Hu bayomim ha'elu. We are required to recognize the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us in these days. Nisim geluyim, open miracles. Ve'ha'oras panim milfonav le'amo Yisrael. And ve'ha'oras panim yisbarash shemo le'amo Yisrael. And a showing of his face to the Jewish people. Mashalo zochu liros harbe asoradoros. Something that had not been merited to see by many tens of generations. Tens of generations. Ask yourself, what would a Jew in the year, let's take 1900, or 1800, or 17, or 16, or 15, or 14, and go back until the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. What would a Jew have said in 1800 if you would have said to him, I want to tell you something, I'm your great, 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 great grandson, and I can go to the Kotel. He would say, you are doing the fulfillment of all of my hopes and dreams. Because when I stood under the chuppah in 1789, I recited and said what every Jew says under the chuppah. Im eshkocheich Yerushalayim, tishkach yemini. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, my right hand should forget its coming. Tidbak lashoni lechiki imlo eskerechi. My tongue should stick to the roof of my mouth if I don't remember you. Imlo a'al es Yerushalayim al rosim chasi. If I don't go up to Jerusalem at the height of my joy. You and I who can go to the Kotel are the living embodiment of all of 2,000 years of exile that has the schus and the gift to go into the Kotel to daven and to even go further, if that's the way you hold. And I want to say one more quote from the Slonim Rebbe. He makes a statement in the same sikha that he gave. And he says as follows. V'chol mi sheyesh lo moach b'kod kodo. Every single person that has a brain in his head. That's the language. Moach b'kod kodo. Modim shelo ha-yoshum inyan tivi. Anyone with a brain in his head knows that the miracles that took place in the coming together of Yerushalayim did not happen in a normal fashion. And when you talk to people who were involved in the war, they'll admit it. It was not in a normal fashion. I recommend that when you go to Yerushalayim, you take a tour of Givat HaTachmoshet. You go to Ammunition Hill. It's the hill that the Israeli paratroopers had a storm in order to get to dislodge the Jordanian legion, which was the most well-trained of the Arab armies. 36 Jewish boys your age, maybe a year or two older, lost their lives. All their pictures are there. Go. See what sacrifices Klal Yisrael makes in order to have a reunified Yerushalayim. And we have the schus of living in that time. But the main purpose of all of this reunification, the main goal of all of coming together in a unified Jerusalem is only one thing. And we should never forget this. Maybe the rest of the Jewish people are not yet aware of it, but we hope they will be. But the most important thing to remember is Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soda Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That's what we have to work for. The promise of the Six-Day War was unbelievable. I walked in Manhattan at the time. I was on 34th Street and Broadway, where there are hundreds of thousands of people all day long, in and out of, at that time, Macy's and Gimbel's and Saks Fifth Avenue and so on. And there were yeshiva boys and yeshiva girls holding open Israeli flags, four kids, one at each corner. And Jews and non-Jews were passing by dropping in $10 bills next to the sign, support the IDF. It was amazing to see everyone walk by and yes, the Israelis, yes, they're going, throwing in. And the shuls were filled. People who had never gone to shul to daven in years showed up every morning of the Six-Day War to daven for the Jewish people. The promise was unbelievable. We really, really felt, I'm not kidding you, Mashiach, the footsteps are here. And then something happened and it got lost. There was a letdown. And the letdown's felt to this day. A little bit of that letdown. Because what we really need to see from Yerushalayim is that the Torah should come forth from Jerusalem. And the Torah will come forth from Yerushalayim when you go there to learn, when all of Klal Yisrael goes there to learn, when Klal Yisrael observes the commandments, when we come together and recognize the gift of Yerushalayim in the unification of the city, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is paramount. Of course, we know that he's Melocha La'aretz Kavodo. But like everything else, you know, but Ovam Hadras Melech, where the majority of the Jewish people are, you have more glory to the king. And so when we come together there, there's more. And there's the hope that eventually that's what will happen. And that's what we have to hope for, work for, daven for, learn for, pray for, anything you can do to see to it that Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soda Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Because that's the purpose of all of these miracles, and that's the purpose of all of this that we're living in this time. What a gift we have to live in this time, and we hope that that will be fulfilled. Because when that happens, each and every one of us is going to feel that we have truly seen the open miracles that are described by the Sfarim Rebbe and others, by those who experienced it, and the purpose of all those miracles. Our purpose is that the Torah should come forth from there, and that we should be a part of that Torah. And we should be zoche that each and every one of us become part of that Torah, plug in to the commandments, the observance of them, the learning of them, the doing of them. And as Rabbi Hochbaum stated, the achdus that comes from the keeping of them should unite us in such a way, just as the city of Yerushalayim is united, Klal Yisrael should also be united. And then we'll see the fulfillment of Ki Mitzion Teitzei Soda Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim.